far are you going?
About 30 years.
In this week's episode, we celebrate Thanksgiving the right way by stuffing ourselves with a review of Magic Users Club TV. Once again recording, so we are set to go.
Okay, cool. Welcome to the Anime of Yesteryear podcast. We're doing another sponsored podcast. I'm John Jones, and with me is Xenic Freak, the other host.
John Jones.
Yes, we're doing Magic Users Club, so expect a lot of repeating names.
Yeah, they didn't do it so much in this. I mean,
did
like,
you see the extras on the last disc?
Yeah, I did it. I saw the extras on the last disc, and I went back and watched the ones on the first disc while I was waiting for you. And we should say that this is the TV series that we got.
Right.
We already reviewed the OVA in episode 90-something. I'll just put that in show notes so people can see that. But, yeah, they also sent us the TV series around the same time, I think, so it just took us a while to get to it.
Yeah, we probably got this thing, like, 4 or 5 months ago.
But, yeah.
yeah, we've gotten around to watching it now, like the end of summer here.
Yeah, I just started school back last week, so it's kind of a good time to...
We're recording this late August.
Yep, we're actually recording August 28th, to be precise. So I gotta kind of keep it down since it's kind of late on my end. I didn't take any show notes on this, so everything's kind of just going to go off Wikipedia in terms of what happened.
Good idea. I guess I should pull that up too. Very episodic,
yeah.
Where most of the episodes don't really flow together or anything.
Yeah, they're all kind of standalone, their own thing. It wasn't like the OVA where like everything was sort of connected. They just kind of did their own thing for most of the time.
Yeah. They've got like a few that connect at the end, and there's like kind of a meta plot with the to get into the story. There's like this ghost that's showing up throughout the series, and spoiler alert, it turns out to be Size Magic, but it's like showing up and causing mischief in each episode, and it'll show up for like maybe a minute or two for the first 10 episodes or something, and then it starts to be like the more of the focus of the plot in the last handful.
I couldn't tell if it was a guy or a girl. Like, they would say it would be, like, a guy or a boy, but then, like, it looked like a girl, so I just mostly said that person was a girl most of the time.
Yeah, they said it was a guy, but then it was, like, Takakura was all aroused by it, and Takakura is very hetero, so...
Yeah,
He's
very cis.
Yeah. Evil cis Asian male. I was going to say cis white male, but that doesn't apply for Magic Users Club.
No, it doesn't. Maybe cis is only a term for white people only, so Asian's going to pass.
I don't think Asia is quite down the trans rabbit hole of even having a term like cis. Like, they would just assume that's just what like people
are. They just look at the stuff and be like, what in the world is going on in America? I'm glad I don't live over there.
Zebra. Okay, I think I can record again here.
Okay. Like, I just heard, I guess that was her dad or something. All I heard was like, he said he found a zebra.
Uh-huh. It's like an album that he was looking for online.
Oh. I was like, wait a sec, you're not in Africa, are you?
No.
Your dad, like, just, walks into the house like, hey, son, I found this random zebra we can take care of. Where should we put it?
I have somewhere like a zebra box or something that I drew a zebra on a little box with like my crayons or something when I was in like preschool and I still have it somewhere. For some reason, I really liked like the letter Z and like zebra. Maybe I was watching too much Dragon Ball Z on Toonami. I don't know.
Or Zeta Gundam, perhaps.
Yeah, I don't think I knew about it yet. They only had mobile suit and wing back then.
That's right. That's true. Man, I'm just trying to think of, because it took us about like what two or three weeks to watch this, because we did about an episode.
MAL, it said that I started it on the 9th, so it took 19 days, and it's like two out of every 3 days we watched an episode.
Yeah, I think we tried doing two in one night, and I was like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, we did that one time, and it was like too much.
Yeah, I figured the Wikipedia would have like an episode description of what happens. It's just like an episode list, so got to go based off memory here. I mean, the first
episode's about the cherry blossoms, you know, because it's like a continuation of the plot of the OVA. Like, it's not a retelling or anything. Like how the Tenchi OVAs, you know, like the TV show universe. It's like it reboots it, but this is just like it continues right from where the OVA left off.
Yeah, that's true, because then they're trying to like figure out how to move like in the cherry tree. I mean, the cherry tree was in town and people were just like, again, kind of like the aliens is like, well, it's here for some reason. We'll just have to live with it in our city. And I think they were still like on the mission to try to get it moving, and they did. And it kind of crab walks over to like some mountain or a lake or something.
Yeah. Sai like uses magic and they chant or something, and then it grows legs and starts walking out of the city because it's like causing too much cherry blossoms on the ground for people to sweep up or something as a nuisance or whatever.
It was something like this. I can't even, like, that's all I remember from the first episode, but then again, this is like 3 weeks ago when we saw this, so.
Yeah, well, it's not like there was really much more than that going on in that episode.
Yeah, so the first episode is they move the tree and then you get to see some mysterious kid or person in it. And. Right. Yeah, anyways, like, that's just kind of, it ends on that, like, oh, who's that person? And then the second episode is titled Nanaka, A Cake, and the Dangerous Evening.
Yes.
Which, that was the one where apparently they were having parent-teacher conferences at school, and Nanaka's parents were being stupid, and they weren't going to show up. So Nanaka gets mad, and goes live with Sai in her house, and then Akane just comes over. And then it becomes like a Lifetime movie where it's just like a bunch of girls like, I'm going to help with cooking and I'm going to do this and I'm going to be Miss Bad Attitude until I get food in me. Then I'm happy. And it was like Girls Night Out or something.
Yeah. Like some of these episodes are kind of boring. Like that was, it was not very much really happening. And a lot of them, they barely use, you know, magic in it.
Yeah.
They might have used it a little bit when cooking, but. Yeah, not very much.
Like, the story seems to move, or it seems to be kind of interesting when it's like, if it's not just the girls as the whole group doing something. Because then, like, Takakura is trying to learn something, and then he winds up causing something stupid to happen. And still in this OVA, like, I guess Aburatsubo is, like, the best character. I still kind of stand by that. I mean, just being real here. But, no, the cake one was like they pulled some magic trick to make the cake bigger, but it went too big. And then they used a magic trick to split the cake up into like all these little pieces of cake. And I think they were going to like sell it for like a bake sale or something. I think that was what they're trying to do. I don't really remember.
Probably. I don't know.
Yeah.
I do remember they like went overboard with the magic or something and it became huge.
I remember
going. You're like comparing it to Akira.
Yeah. It was like gonna be it like started filling up the room. I was like, oh, this is just the Tetsuo blob, except it's just a giant piece of cake.
Yeah.
Imagine if they, like, redid Akira with, like, you know, like, basically the science experiment in Akira was just, like, something out of, like, a high school cooking class that went, that gone mad or went wrong. Like, Tetsuo falls into, like, the bat of, like, the cake or whatever, and then they put him in this giant oven, and then somehow that fuses with his DNA and gives him superpowers. That probably would have been a, that probably would have been a less disturbing ending scene if Tetsuo turned into the giant cake blob.
I don't think the movie would have been as popular then.
Nah, then it'd just be like, Otomo, man, you're doing something good with this, and then cake, where did that come from?
Yeah, well, it'd be like, that's that movie with the terrible ending, right? And then it'd be like overshadowing
yeah. everything. Yeah, there's no way people would look at Akira the same way if that happened. They wouldn't consider it like a grand masterpiece in animation. Just be like, man, that was that movie that almost went somewhere, and then the director was like, I'm all about this cake, so we're going to put this in the movie. We got. I think they probably would have thought Otomo was trying to sell it for, like, TV or something.
Yeah, they had some cake sponsor or something.
Yeah, it would be like the censorship from Fist in the North Star. Instead of just blood, it's cake. Like, you kick people.
You already cake.
You already frosting. Yeah. And then, like, everybody who explodes is just, they turn into, like, a piece of cake, so then, like, nobody's really starving in the post-apocalypse. Speaking of, I am a handful of episodes away from finishing Fist in the North Star, at least the first part. So we're gonna have
to attack. What episode are you on?
10-something. It's okay. The part where he's gonna fight Fudo, Rao's fighting Fudo the Mountain in order to gain demon blood, in order to fight Kenshiro so he won't experience fear when he fights Kenshiro, therefore they believe he's gonna be the most powerful person.
Yeah, I finally got mine recently, the complete series that we bought on Amazon, which was severely discounted. Yeah. But it took like a month to ship or something. And then Daft was in the chat and he was like, this is why you should never buy anything, because it might take a while to get there. Yeah, I can just download it immediately.
Well, that's Daft. I'm just surprised he still goes to see movies and talks about how he goes to places where he's spending money doing it.
Well, I think with Suicide Squad, he got in for free because his friend works at the theater, and he's mentioned doing that with other movies too. Like, he takes any opportunity to to get out of bank or stuff.
Jeez, what a broke ass New England kid!
And yet, he always refers contemptuously to people who pay for things as poor people.
No, if you pay like, for things, that means you have money to spend. Therefore, you're rich.
Right, whenever, like, we buy something, he's like, buying DVDs is poor people stuff. Or, like, whenever we watch something on cable or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, he can sit there and criticize, like, me owning a VCR still and using it to record Toonami, but at least I don't have to worry, I don't have your problem where it's like, if I try to DVR something, it won't recognize it because the name's different or whatever problem you have.
Right, it makes me want to go back to using my VCR, you know? I gotta get up at it. I've not done that since moving here.
I just don't, like, it's like, I feel like, I could get a DVR, but then it's like, I still got a bunch of tapes. Those still work. Mm-hmm. And as long as I'm archiving them on my computer, it's fine. So that's what's kind of what I'm doing.
I like how they, there was, like, such a bubble in, you know, VCRs in the 80s and 90s or early 2000s that they made so many tapes that, like, 15 years after the DVD recorder was invented, there still are a huge amount of blank tapes out there to be recorded on.
Yeah, you can still buy them at stores, although it's going to be very, very small. Well, speaking of, they finally stopped producing VCRs, like, a few weeks ago, I think.
In Japan.
Yeah, it was like, they made the last 250,000 or something.
Yeah, there's, like, still a VCR community in Japan, I guess, because that was, like, one of their big industries back then.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of how the OVA boom started. Alright. You can tell, listener, that we are super excited to keep on talking about Magic Users Club instead of VCR talk and Fist of the North Star talk.
We're the just third raring episode, to go. It's got Aburatsubo, Morning Face, and the parent-teacher meetings, and I think this is the one where they were, like, hiding in the closet or whatever, right?
Yeah, or they're hiding in the magic user's room and then the bunch of boxes close the door. And apparently Operatsubo has, like, a fangirl group that chases after him. Kind of like Vic Mignogna's Risen Bull Rangers. Except they kind of hang around the school, and they're all about the same age. So it's a whole lot more acceptable that way, at least in my viewpoint.
And Operatsubo is not interested in them.
No. It kind of shows, like, if you have a group of fangirls around you, it's like, no wonder that Operatsubo looks depressed whenever he's, like, he sees them. Whenever they are in the same scene as him, he's just like, please, just go the hell away from me. Like, I want nothing to do with you. And apparently, like, it's like a little mini cult. It's like, if this show couldn't get any weirder with a magic club, they had to make a cult around somebody.
Slapping the other members, and he's like, no, yeah, his Ioness is mine.
Yeah, the president of the club only wants him and only wants to be recognized as the one that wants him. And if any other girl, like, praises him and it's not her, then she basically slaps her subordinates, which really, why do they all freaking care about Operatsubo?
Why does she join a club and become the president of her?
Yeah, why are you gonna join a club and fantasize over some guy that only the president wants and is making sure you don't get it? Like, I don't understand that concept at all, John.
Yeah, the concept is ridiculous, but their angle's kind of amusing to see. Yeah, I don't know.
It was funny, but they treat like Operatsubo's mom as like the Virgin freaking Mary, like when she shows up for the parent teacher conference and she's like, well, on it, that's like, oh, you have a fan, my son has a fan club, we better go hunt him down. I completely support this. It's like, what kind of mom are you?
She seemed like she wanted to hook up him and Nanaka or something in one of the episodes.
I don't even remember how that went down. It was just like, they finally got out of the room and he didn't want to be caught because he didn't want to deal with his mom. Mm-hmm. So there's some mom issues there. Yeah, it's just this whole idol worship of upperclassmen is, I guess it's maybe sort of like this like comedic style of like Japanese school society or something. I mean, I'm a freaking senior and like some of that sort of like, I feel like the teachers like bring that up more than like the students do. It's like, oh, you're a senior, then like you're an upperclassman and you're supposed to get this certain level of respect. And I'm just like, I don't give two craps about it. If anything, I should, like, you know, I'm a third year senior. I should have been out of there 2 years ago. There's nothing, there is nothing to celebrate about me at all.
Yeah, the whole senpai, kohai thing, like, that's more of, like, a Japanese thing than, like, Americans don't care about quite as much. Especially not in, you know, in college or whatever. Maybe more so in high school, but I don't know.
Yeah. I just know some of that, like, when I was in, the reason why I got, one of the reasons I got out of the art program was, like, that's how they kind of treated there, where it's like, if you're an upperclassman, senior person, then it doesn't, like, age has nothing to do with it. It's the title of being a junior or senior, and, like, the art professors, there are certain ones I knew, really just one, was like, you need to treat your seniors with respect, and those seniors were, like, the biggest bitches I ever met. And I'm like, there's nothing here worthwhile to look up to. And I'm a, you know, late 20-year-old guy, and these are, like, early 20-something, still teenage mindset girls. Like, why would I give two shits about this?
Mm-hmm.
Which is one of the reasons I left the art program. I don't really get that so much in the comm department, but which is fine with me.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, that was the Operatsubo episode.
The next one's Sai, the bathroom and the door. I think this one also involved someone like getting stuck in a room. I think it was Sai got stuck in a room and had to go to the bathroom. That was like the whole plot of the
episode. The bathroom and the door was the one where they teleport it through certain doors.
Oh,
and
maybe
the way
that was the previous episode that Sai had the bathroom plot.
Yeah, that came. No, I think that came from what I remember of this. At least I think so. Was the one that, like, apparently, like, there's some magic that was cast by somebody, one of them. And apparently, like, if you feel about someone when you open up a door, you teleport or have a way to teleport to their location. So, for instance, while Operatsubo is getting food out of the fridge in his house, he's thinking about getting in the bathtub with Sai, which she's in the bathtub, so when he opens up the fridge door, she's there.
You mean Takakura's thinking about that?
Yeah, Takakura's thinking about that. I said Aparasubo, right?
Yeah, he's not.
It was he not. No, no.
Doing that with Takakura.
No, no, no. Yeah. Thanks for correcting me.
Yeah. But yeah, they're all like looking through like fridge doors and like pantry doors. And...
Yeah. Okay. So Aparasubo comes out of the freaking Takakura stove, and then somehow they try making a chain link to all this because like apparently like Akane. Or Sai's, like, closet door went to Akane's attic or something weird like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then at one point, I thought they, like, teleported to some phone booth or something. And they wind up going to this fountain. Like, the fountain seems to be the centerpiece where everything kind of, like, sort of moves the story along to the next part or the next arc or something.
Oh, yeah, I think what happened was, like, they were trying to learn teleport magic or something, and Sai couldn't figure it out, and they said something... Like, she wasn't going to help them with solving the magic problem or whatever, and then she went and ran away, and they had to all go look for her, and
you're talking about
she was in a phone booth, and they had to, like,
look
around, and then they found her by the fountain, and I think the ghost was there, too.
Oh,
right?
No, that one, I even saw this in the bloopers, because I forgot about it, where she walks into, like, this Italian eatery place.
Oh, the pizzeria.
And it's those pizzerias with these thick mustache Italians, and the dub, they're like, pizzeroni! And they're like flipping the dough in the air and stuff.
Yeah, that was one of the highlights of the...
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a bunch of Asians trying to run an Italian place. It's an actual Italian, so it's gotta be authentic. Or maybe it's just a bunch of New Yorkers running it, to be honest.
About yeah, I don't know what that was all about.
Yeah. Man, it makes me think of, like, when I was in Japan, I didn't go to a fast food place. I didn't have an Asian person serve me McDonald's or Burger King. I kind of wish. Maybe next time. I didn't think about that because, like, we're always at the school eating or or other places to go eat.
Like, well, there is plenty of that stuff there.
Oh, yeah. No, they had, yeah, that's when they had, like, a cultural festival, like, on a Saturday or something, or Friday or Saturday. And it was some really good food.
Mm-hmm.
Which, speaking of, there actually is a cultural festival in this show. I guess,
yeah.
We'll get to that in a sec. But the next one is Akane has the hiccups, which apparently her magic does some weird stuff.
I don't remember much about this one. I think she was, like, wearing a little mask or something because she was embarrassed.
Yeah.
I don't remember what else happened.
Yeah, because the episode starts with her coming to school, but she's got the mask on, which, to them, it's usually, like, either they mean, I'm sick, or I don't want to get sick.
Uh-huh.
And so that's, like, when they wear the surgical mask around town. That's how they do it in Japan.
Yeah.
And so then she brings over Aparasubo in order to, like, because everyone thinks that, like, she's interested in Aparasubo, but really she's asking for help because she's got the hiccups, and when she has them, like, weird magic stuff happens. And they cured it somehow, and I don't remember.
Yeah, I'm not sure. They had, like, raised Japanese superstitions they mentioned about, like, eat rice or something, and it'll solve it.
Yeah.
And it's, like, different from the American superstitions about how to solve it. But I don't remember what exactly they did.
I don't... No, they had some suggestions, and then she apparently was telling, like... She was at some photo shoot, or Connie was, and some, like, photographer was creepily hitting on her. And then somehow, like, that turned him into a giant fountain or something. And then, like, all this other weird stuff happened. But eventually her hiccups went away. I don't remember how.
Yeah.
That's
it doesn't really matter in the overall scheme of things. It's, like, such a minor episode.
Yeah, the next one was Takakura Origami and the Secret Date. Oh! No, I do remember how that ended, because that's when they went to the greenhouse, and she apparently, like, Akane turned into, like, a little fairy or something.
Oh, is that,
and
that
they
episode?
They go to the greenhouse.
She was, like, shrinking for some reason.
Yeah, she's, like, became the incredible... She's, like, both in this show, Akane, she's both the incredible shrinking woman and the attack of the 50-foot woman. All in the same show.
Uh-huh.
We'll actually get to the bigger version later.
Yeah, that's
when it starts getting interesting. Yeah, and then apparently she's like naked, and then Takakura comes in there and has like a massive geyser of nosebleed because she's naked.
Of course.
Yeah. But anyways, it solves her problem somehow. And it was basically something about how, like, Akane was like, oh, she's an upperclassman, or I don't know how to handle that, or I want to respect her, but it's hard for me to, because she's a freaking flake or something.
It was, like, Nanaka and Sai were in the greenhouse.
Yeah, trying to find Akane.
Talking about her, and she was in there, and she heard them, and she was like, oh, no, I can't come out, because it would be embarrassing. Then I think she magically became big again at the end for some reason. And then,
something like that, yeah.
And then Takakura comes in and has mm-hmm. one of his fantasies or whatever.
Ooh. Yeah, that's pretty much it. We need to move along to try to keep this paced up. Right. Cause, like, I feel like I'm just getting tired talking about it. And it's also 11:38 at night, so.
Yeah, it's later East Coast.
Okay, the next one was Takakura Origami and the Secret Date. I don't remember what this one was about.
They were learning how to do origami, I guess. I don't know.
I don't remember either.
Do they have, like, episode summaries on the box? They don't, do they?
I don't know. I didn't know if there was episode summaries on Mal or something.
Maybe, but let's just say this one wasn't very memorable.
All right, well, that wasn't...
Come back to us later.
Maybe that had something to do with, like, them starting up the,
Oh, wasn't it, like, they were someone's origami didn't look like what it was supposed to look like or something? Maybe size. And then... maybe this is the one where they have, like, a... This is the dream episode, maybe, do you think?
You know, I think that's it, yeah. That was actually, okay, now that I'm thinking about it, that could be the dream episode, because that was actually visually really cool.
Where she was, like, just walking around, and then she, like, stops and, like, sees the ghost, and then she's, like, off in dream world for the whole rest of the episode, and then she wakes up at the very end.
Yeah, like, her and Takakura, like, go on, like, sort of this date, and they paint the school in this really beautiful color art thing, and like at the end of it, like they, you know, they could both come to school and everyone's looking at it, and then like they both mention to each other, like, "Wait a sec, this was in the dream that I had or something."
Yeah,
that was actually kind of a cool episode. I mean, it was really weird at first, and I was just like, "Okay, where the heck is this going?" And then like we saw how it went, and I was like, "Okay, that's actually pretty cool." Because this was around them trying to plan for the school festival, and the next episode was the school festival, because it's titled Sai, a Tomato, and the Dance of the Paintbrush. No,
that's where she, like, draws on the ground, and then it gets torn up, and then the bloopers, they've got, like, her actress, and she's, like, sobbing over it, and she's like, how could they destroy it? I work so hard.
Yeah, I remember... Yeah, I think the positive thing about this show is the blooper reel, to be honest. That's like I was like, okay, I went through 4 or 5 episodes per disc. Let's see how badly the voice actors screwed up on their roles. Oh, this is fantastic.
What I like about these Central Park Media dubs is like they're all they're done in like one room, and the actors are obviously having fun, like playing off of each other, and like they're just really hamming it up for the roles. They don't use just their natural voice for every role and have it sound the same like some of the Funimation actors do, and all the funny actors, they'd like, you know, they record their lines separately. They're not all together in a room like they are in the New York dubs. So there's like something just funny to watch about these old New York dubs.
Honestly, the dubbing probably happened when, like, I mean, if you're taking in, like, from what I heard, that, like, probably what I imagined CPM headquarters looked like, it was probably, like, the recording studio was probably set up in, like, a storage closet or something. I mean, I've heard that, like, CPM had, like, for office chairs, they had at one point lawn chairs. Because John O'Donnell was that cheap. I don't know how confirmed that is, but that's sort of the rumor I've heard between, like, Justin Savakis on A&N Cast mentioned that. When he would talk about, like, his days at CPM or when they bring people in to talk about it.
So and he used to work there.
Yeah, that's, like, one of his first jobs. And it's just so fascinating to hear that stuff. I'm just like, I wish John O'Donnell could just write a book about, like, running an anime company for however long. And, like, okay, here's photos of the office. And I could just imagine, like, the cheap Walmart chairs. With, like, like the crappy ones that are, like, they're $15 when they're new, but then within a week they're, like, $3 at Goodwill or something. Like, that's just how I imagine that place to be.
They must have expanded eventually, though.
Yeah, I think that was just, like, the early days. Like,
this was recorded in probably the late 90s, though, so maybe they were still
kind of small. Yeah, because this, yeah, Magic Users Club came out, the TV series came out in 99.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to get it within, like, a couple of years later, is what I imagine.
This must have been when Sailor Moon was popular on Toonami, don't you think? Because they made, like, a big deal on the box art. Well, on the back cover of the DVD, it's like the director worked on Sailor Moon Super S and Sailor Moon, and it's, you know, it's like...
Yeah,
this is the Magical Girl Boom.
Directed by Jun Ichi Sato, who did Aria the Animation, which we need to check that out sometime. I've heard about it. I've always heard about that anime, but I've never seen it. And directed Sailor Moon. Animation by Madhouse, and they're credited for just Cardcaptor Sakura, not everything else in the 80s and 90s, because I guess no one else knew him at the time. And Triangle Staff, which apparently did Macross Plus and Serial Experiments Lane. And then they got a general animation directed by Kuko Ito, who did Sailor Moon Super S and Princess Tutu.
Right. So, yeah, this has, like, a pretty high-profile team working on it, I think.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's not like, perfect or anything, but it's, like, confidently animated. I didn't really notice anything... like, problematic about the animation. It seemed pretty fluid for TV animation.
Yeah, it didn't look bad for TV animation. I mean, honestly, for, like, the stuff we've, like, you know, seen on TV right. at that time, it's, like, sort of almost getting there to OVA quality. But no, it looks pretty good for a TV show.
Yeah.
Yeah, the next one I think I was trying to get to was Saya Tomato and the Dance of the Paintbrushes, which is probably them getting everything ready. Or, like, Saya was the one that was in some sort of art film, and she was in the white dress. And that's when she had, like, a tomato stain on her, which apparently there's a... I think it was it's based off of a real film that they used that's in the extras in the last DVD, which they had on there.
I thought that was Nanaka, but yeah, they did have, like, a 4-minute short film on the extras, where she, it was like a real Asian girl doing the whole, like, thing with the tomato and the, and it said it was from 1996, so I don't know if that girl was maybe the actress for Nanaka or something, and she had done that when she was in school.
Like, honestly, I thought it was, like, something the directors had to do for, like, their school projects, and so they're just like, alright, we'll just animate this and then make fun of it in our own show.
Maybe.
That could possibly be it, too. It might be it, I don't know.
You never know.
Shoot.
It doesn't give a description or any, like, details about it. It's just like, here's the film.
Yeah. And it just kind of starts you up, like, why was this made? What was the purpose of it? Which I'm pretty sure, again, was a school thing. I just remember in the dub bloopers, like...
yes, that was great.
She started, like, basically doing commentary on the own thing. And she made it... that was actually, like, really, really good.
Yeah.
It's like, here's me trying to walk, and now I'm trying to fly now, holding a tomato. What does this mean? I just started busting out laughing. I'm like, this is, like, the kind of bull crap you see at these, like, art exhibition, like, student film things that are just terrible all around.
Yeah, they were making fun of that a lot in the dub blooper reel for that DVD. The whole thing, they, like, make fun of it, which is just why the bloopers are so funny is because, like, you can tell these actors are not really taking it all that seriously, but it's still kind of...
Yeah, I think if Right Stuff puts this out on Blu-ray, they're going to have to put that as a section for their extras instead of just this end of the disc bull crap.
But yeah, they did that same thing on the OVAs, too. They put it at the end of the disc. I think you might have missed it on those, too. Because
I thought I saw some of them, actually. I thought I did.
Maybe you saw some, but not all. But it was like, you know, it's easy to miss it because they have the ending theme, and then they have the ending theme again with, like, the dub credits.
Yeah, and then they get past that, as that's when the blooper reel starts.
Yeah, so you guys have to do the same song twice. After the song has already been on the disc 4 or 5 times.
But I watched it through my computer, so I just got my mouse and just skimmed to the very end.
Because
I wasn't going to sit through that crap. Alright, what we got next? We got Alice, Railroad Tracks, and The Cracker. Maybe that was the one with the student film. Maybe that was the actual one with the festival. Or was it episode 9? Because the next one, it says Kimono Short Shorts and The Age of Joy.
Hold on. So, Sigh, a Tomato, and the Dance of the Paintbrush. Well, that was the one, that was the festival. I think the festival was only one episode. Alice, Railroad Tracks, and The Cracker. Well, that one, maybe there were two episodes at the festival, because they had the booth where it was, like, only Sai was attending it.
Yeah, like, apparently everyone was supposed to go to the booth to help out, but they wound up leaving Sai there most of the time. And then Takakuro finally comes to save the day, and they're about to have this hug thing, and Sai just takes off like, I gotta piss! Where were you?
Yeah. He's, like, running towards her, and he's like, Sawa Noguchi! And she's like, Takakura! And then she runs right by him, and she's like, take over for me!
Yeah. Well, there's also the fact that, like, apparently the Mizuo, the manga artist, big boob chick, she's ahead of the committee for this school, which, it's again, stupid, but, like, apparently, like, she was trying to find every way to bring him down, so, like, they put, like, her giant billboard in front of his club room so no one could really find it, but they wound up doing it. Because then Sai winds up doing a magic trick to have, like, to read fortunes, but the cards start dancing. So then people want to come by and check it out. But, like, Takakura comes up with an idea to make these little dolls, and they start dancing around to come to the Magic Users Club. And then she comes over there and just stomps that crap out. And then gives them all these papers, like litigation stuff that doesn't mean anything. Which, in reality, no one is going to sign that stuff, which is the point. Which is why it's like, I would never, like... He's taking, like, the job way too serious. Like, you know, it's like, oh, she's upperclassman, I have to fill everything out properly. Which, in reality, if that was me, I'd be like, F you, and then just, like, throw the papers everywhere and just, like, take my little dolls and start marching somewhere else. I'm like, no, this is redundant. This is stupid. I just remember
the part where there was the cardboard cutout in front of the door, and then someone moved it.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, they moved it, and it was like they weren't allowed to move it or something.
Uh-huh, but it wasn't even like someone from the club. I think it was just someone who wanted to get into their room.
That was it, yeah.
Because they found out that Sai had rice crackers in there, and they were all flocking to it.
Yeah, nobody really cared about the cards flying. They just needed rice crackers really bad.
Yeah. Yeah, because the ghost, I think, had gotten the cards to fly around in a circle, and that started to draw people in at first, and then people were like, oh, crackers.
Yeah. I just remember, like, one of the student council meetings, like, Takakura was in, and Mizuo was, like, basically stating, like, oh, if you have any questions, I don't want to hear them, we're out of here. I was like, wow, why are you president of all these clubs again? Like,
yeah.
Really? Like, this school is a terrible place. Like, you should be voted out. But she's probably got so much
because
pull.
Of her appearance.
Yeah, that they're like, no, we better not do it.
Yeah.
I
don't know if she's supposed to be, like, rich or something.
I would semi-imagine so, maybe.
Yeah, I would think so. Next one is Kimono's Short Shorts and the Age of Joy. It's supposed to be this festival. Right?
Gosh, I do not remember. Age of Joy, Kimonos. I seriously can't remember this episode.
I think there must have been a Summer Festival episode. Those are kind of all the same. Like, I've seen so many of those on anime.
Yeah, like, it all just blends together, really.
Like, they do the same stuff always, you know, in a yeah. Summer Festival episode.
It's like, Summer Festival is there to go out there and get some good food, walk around, check out some stuff. That's about it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Okay. So, honestly, I think episode 9 was probably when people's, like, personalities started to change. Because that's when, like, we get to see the Juni person kind of, like, weave their hand into these people and the Magic Users Club. And that's kind of the start of it where there's, like, all these, like psychological doubts or something like that. Like, episode 10 was the Snow, the Colds, and the First Kiss. Which basically, like, Sai is going to see her parents in, like, Hokkaido, which apparently every time they show Hokkaido, it's like this winter wonderland, no matter what time of the year it is. And then so her and her sister are going on this trip. And for some reason, like, back in wherever they are in Japan, where they're from, like, at school, like, it's sunny, there's nothing there, there's no snow or anything. So it feels like there's two different seasons all in the same week.
They're in Tokyo for the main part, I think.
Okay, so they never really said, like, what part of Japan this show takes place, but you're assuming Tokyo.
That's just my guess, because it looks like how Tokyo is depicted in other anime, from what I can tell, anyway. I mean, you never know, though. It's obviously not the real Japan.
Yeah, I didn't see, like, the Shinjuku building or, like, the Tokyo Tower or anything. It was kind of like when they had the cherry blossom thing, it just seemed like a little small town, like, in the middle of, like, nowhere. Who knows? It could have been Kanazawa, but that would mean they would be on an ocean. I never saw an ocean, so.
I don't think there was any oceans in this.
I don't know. But, yeah, that's the one where...
They made it vague on purpose so that wherever you live in Japan,
It relates to young Japanese you.
Yes, right.
But episode 10 was basically, like, Sai goes, and there's something about her, like, her parents have, like, a barn, so they have a bunch of horses, and the horse is, like, eating her hair because it feels like hay or something, which that could be a very major problem with your hair, if it feels that stringy.
Uh-huh. Well, it's all, like, sticking up and orange, so they must think that it's hay,
So, apparently, what happens in this is that June is, like, meeting all these people at the same time. So, apparently, he's able to go to Hokkaido to Sai and give her her first kiss. And then, while at the same time helping Takakura out with reading some magic book or something.
Well, doesn't he show up, like, in the bathroom or something, and Takakura's freaking out?
What
are you doing here? You know, doing his, like, goofy stuttering like he does.
Yeah, that was right, because you were just like, what's the point of Takakura going to the bathroom to take a piss?
Yeah. And they have that, they started to play that music that they always have whenever he's having one of his fantasies. So,
Oh, yeah.
And it's like every episode you get that. He probably showed up for the others, too. I don't remember if he showed up for Nanaka and Abaratsu. No.
Well, he would have to show up for the others because they're the ones that, like, they start, like, second-guessing themselves and what they want to do and how they really feel. And, yeah, so then she calls up Takakura, like, trying to explain that this guy kissed her, but he's just like, no, he's been here the whole time. Oh, guess what? He's going to join the club. It's like, great.
And by that point, it's already pretty clear that the ghost is, like, up to no good, but...
Yeah.
They still let it in anyway, because it was helping him study for some magic test or something. Which, it's weird, because, like, why is he having a test on this when... There's, like, 5 magicians in the school, right? Like,
yeah, there's no curriculum. They never mention a curriculum. They never mention any kind of, like, program. Like, they're the only ones that have a club. So it's a self-interest club. There's nothing. Is there a teacher there? I mean, like, they mentioned a teacher in, like, England or something that I guess they learned magic from originally or started to get interest in from that. But that teacher's in England, so is this, like, an overseas program or something for magic? So it must be related to freaking Harry Potter in some way. It has to be.
This predates Harry Potter, maybe. I don't know. But so yeah, they had this girl that was part of the club that they say she introduced Sai to the club, even mm-hmm. though they did not show that in the OVA. This was mentioned in the Hokkaido episode at the start. And they were like, she's over in London. And then she shows up later on. And then Takakura's like, maybe I should be actually learning magic from a grand wizard like your father. And then she's like, no, don't worry about it. And then she just goes back to England. And it's like, oh, all right. So yeah, I guess there's like actual wizards in this.
They never explained who this person was except to like this last DVD. Like, oh, this person taught us magic. She's really important to us. She might be coming on the way here. It'd be great to see her again. And we're like, I don't remember you ever mentioning this person in the OVAs or even the past two freaking DVDs. And all of a sudden you bring this person up like they're that freaking important. And this person was only in there. Okay, so this person was only in there for, and actually doing magic stuff for like 5 minutes. And the end of that, like, I think it was like episode 12 or something. They have a magic, she has a magic battle with the freaking ghost guy or chick, whatever, trainee. Uh-huh. And, and then there's like, oh, there's more sides to magic. There's a darker side to magic. And then that's it. That's all you ever see this English chick do. And it's like, well, what was the freaking purpose of you being there in the first place?
Yeah, and then somehow she knows that the ghost is Sai's magic, which was like the weird twist at the end. And she, but like, they don't say how she figured that out. I guess she like vanquished the ghost because it didn't really do anything bad after that.
Yeah,
and Sai still quits doing magic for an episode, and then she like runs away. And then she has to find her again.
Yeah, she just kind of cries about it. But
I like how in the bloopers they had like several takes of her trying to do it. And the actress was just cracking up about how, like, over the top the scene was, taking it seriously.
It was basically like, "Dick, go and I can't time my lines right."
And then there's one where she kind of like started singing along with the ending theme after she messed up.
Yeah, yeah.
She was just kind of like babbling. It was kind of like cute and funny.
Yeah. Oh man, yeah.
So 11, I guess we kind of skipped over that one. It says Akane, the mirror, and the end of the year sale.
This was the one where Akane turns into the giant attack of the 50-foot woman, which by attacking, it's basically her just wandering around and going, what do I want to do today? I should probably focus on this. No, that's hard. I want to take a bath. I want some tea. It's like this ghost person put all these girls on their worst period. Because you got freaking Sai, Sai trying to talk to Nanaka, and Nanaka just bitch slaps her. And which she never really apologized for officially, they just kind of cry about it and have a moment, which I'm like, I guess that's good enough. I'm telling because you, Nanaka it's a bad Lifetime movie special, like, anime series. I mean, really, that's what this is.
Yeah, they had, like, the plot where Nanaka is all into Amuratsubo, and like they kind of reuse this plot from the OVA where Sai is like recommending that Nanaka try to get close to Amuratsubo, and then Nanaka gets upset with her, and like they pretty much reuse that from the second to last OVA or third to last OVA or whatever. And then you know, like they just have a whole bunch of scenes of Nanaka just like moping. And then she never gets together with Amuratsubo, so I don't know what the whole point of
like,
that plot was.
There was like five episodes. It felt like five episodes of Nanaka and Amuratsubo doing nothing but moping and looking at each other and making it as awkward as possible. That's all they did. I was just like, okay, this is starting to suck real bad. And
the plot never went anywhere. Like
no, it didn't. It was just like, oh, this ghost person is here to show everyone how much of a bitch they are, how much they suck, and how, like, selfish they really are. Oh! I remember the kimono one. The kimono one was basically how they were in a play, or trying to audition for a play.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and in order to meet this junior person.
Akane tricked them to go there.
Yeah, Akane tricked them to go there, and then, like,
her mother was there.
Yeah, her mother was there, and Akane and her mother do like an acting thing or something. And that's all I remember. Okay, that was that episode. That's all you need to know.
Uh-huh. Yeah, like for some reason, they had the ghost audition under Akane's name, and then they were, I don't know what the play was, if it was like Romeo and Juliet or something, but
I don't know, man.
But yeah, they had like Sai awkwardly talking to the judges or whatever, and I think she was just like introducing Nanaka. And then she walked over to Nanaka and she was like, was that awkward? And Nanaka's like, extremely. I just think that Sai's voice actress does a good job of making her seem like a total, like, goofy ditz of a character.
Yeah, it was always great when Nanaka, like, always had that thick New York, like, ghetto girl accent.
In the bloopers? That was
funny. Those were great. I was just like, why couldn't we just have this for Nanaka? This would be great.
That would have made her character less useless. Or more entertaining. She would have at least some purpose in the plot.
Oh, yeah.
And just being the goofy Brooklyn kind of accent.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I noticed the New York actors, they love to do this, like, for random characters. You know, like, in One Piece, how all the characters have Brooklyn accents or whatever for no reason. Like Sanji or whatever. But they didn't really do too much of that in this other than in the bloopers.
Yeah, the bloopers was like, they would come up with all these different lines when Akane was sitting on, like when it was like Giantess Akane, and how she's sitting on the building, and then you got them doing like all these like thick Brooklyn accents, like describing like, look how thick that girl's leg is. That's a big ass feet right there. And then there was like something about like one of them trying to impersonate the kid, like, mommy, I want to be as big as she is. That looks so cool. Oh, mommy, I want to be that, you know.
Yeah.
We're talking more about the bloopers than the actual show. That ought to tell you something.
Yeah. The CPM bloopers are always great. Like Berserk in particular has some really good ones. And, yeah, if anything is appealing about this show, it's the bloopers.
Yeah. The only other anime I can think of that had bloopers was, like, Tokyo Pop Initial D DVDs. Like, they would have bloopers at the end of those, depending on, like, but they put them in the extras, and they only were, like, a few minutes long.
Oh, really?
But they weren't as entertaining from what I remember.
There's another one, I can't remember exactly which one it was, though. It was, like, Devil Hunter Yoko, or...
Oh.
It might have been another one that had a similar name to that, because there's, like, a lot of anime that are that kind of,
well,
you know, demon hunting or whatever.
I mean, there's Vampire...
Had, like, really funny ones.
I was thinking of Vampire Princess Miyu, but that's an Anime Ego release, and they didn't dub that. But Devil Hunter Yoko was an ADV release. And I'm pretty sure ADV does stuff with bloopers in it, especially on their DVDs in the past, so, like, that wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, I'll try to find whatever it was, but, yeah, that was one of the highlights of this, and they're pretty funny on the OVA, too.
Yeah.
I just wish they were a little easier to get to without having to scroll to the end of the DVD, but whatever.
I don't know, that's all I wanted to say about the Akane thing. It was like, she apparently shrunk down somehow with her friends talking to her or something. That's how eventually it happened on that. I think that was in episode 12, actually. But, yeah, the episode 12 was the kite, the whirlwind, and Mickey. And, dang, I can't even remember what was that one. We just saw it last night. See,
okay,
exactly.
Demon Fighter Kocho, that's what it was.
Oh, okay.
That was a Media Blasters DVD. But yeah, it's only like a half hour, but it had some really funny bloopers on it. Okay, let me get back to the show here.
Yeah,
The Kite, the Whirlwind, and Mickey. Okay, that was like the Jinno or whatever was fighting the girl from England, the show.
Oh, okay, yeah, we pretty much covered that, and then Sai was, like, realizing that there's two sides to magic, And yeah, she didn't want any part of it and wanted to quit magic, and that's pretty much how that episode ended. And then 13, the final one, is size magic, size feelings forever, in which basically this feels like they're trying to like sort of play on the end of the last episode of Evangelion, where it's just like a bunch of like inner monologue and then talking about stuff out and trying to. Like, especially with Sai trying to get out of the place she was in that, like, mansion or whatever. It just kind of had sort of, like, maybe a visual appeal to it is what, the way I kind of looked at it. But eventually... Yeah, but eventually, like...
a little more abstract than some of the episodes.
Yeah. Well, this one is much easier to follow. But no, like, if it, like, Takakura goes to find her at the fountain. And it's, like, it was funny because, like, she, like, it's a ghost image of her, but he can't hear her talk. And then, like, you see the lips move, and I was, like, on the chat, I'm like, did the voice actress just not show up that day? And they're just like, oh, screw it, we gotta get this together. It's like, did she just walk off the set or something?
New York strike going on or something.
Yeah, New York voice strike. Like,
higher pay on voice acting.
Higher pay and CPM. They're gonna strike on John O'Donnell.
They're demanding better working conditions at the office, better chairs.
Yeah, better chairs. Oh, man. No, eventually that episode ends with them, with Takakura coming, finding his way to the tree, and then Junae was explaining how, like, Junae came from Sai's magic, and all that was kind of created by her without her knowing it. And then they both confess each other's love to each other, which basically, like, Takakura had a hard time getting the words out, which basically made him sound like a wolf. Trying to say how much he likes her.
Yeah, that was hilarious. And I like on the bloopers that he was like doing that kind of howl he did. And it was like the actress for Sai like started just cracking up at how goofy he sounded.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was one of his like top performances. And that guy, like he always did a good job of making that guy seem like a total like dweeb. And
with how excited he was
doing about stuff and... But yeah, that was great at the end, and at least this had like the characters confess their love for one another at the end. Like
yeah, and
you know, a lot of anime they just don't resolve the love plot after spending like 20 or 30 episodes of them like not being able to confess their feelings to each other or whatever.
Or they completely change the love plot and piss off a whole fan base. Like oh, I don't know, Bleach fans.
Yeah, the people who think that their shipping is true, and then it's not.
And they burn their fan art and they cut up and burn their manga collection when it's not Ichigo and Rikua. It's Orihime. It's like, who freaking cares? It's the final say from the manga creator. And you guys get so pissed off about that. Like, fine. Don't be Bleach fans. Realize that you wasted your life for the past 15 years watching this show.
You're not hurting 10. Kubo when he's already finished the manga and the anime ended years ago. You've already bought all the graphic novels. You know, like the guy's already rich off it.
He couldn't care less.
Getting rid of your election, like he doesn't care at all.
Oh no, what was it? He actually like didn't he like get off of Twitter or something because the fans were so angry at him? But I think it was mostly the Western fans.
Oh, Cloud said something like some Ichigo Rukia fans or something were saying that here's what Kubo had said to us earlier. Before he deleted his Twitter, and it was something like he was retweeting some Ichigo Rukia fan that was saying, Orihime should die, she's in the way of our one true love pairing. And then Kubo was saying something like, I was shocked by this offensive comment by this fan, but don't worry, I don't think all Rukia fans think this way or something. And then the Rukia fans were like, how dare he say this about us? You know, even though he said it's just one person, don't worry, they're not all this way. So, like, they, you know, like, if you insult one of them, you insult all of them, even if he's explicitly saying that he's not doing that. Like, they really take it way too personally.
Yeah, it's like, we have to, like, yeah, it's like, I just think it's this one fan that's crazy. Oh, you're saying all of us are crazy?
Yeah,
well, now you prove my point. Yeah. Good going, Bleach fans, or Rukia fans.
I saw one of them actually said that they were going to commit suicide over this. I don't know if that happened or if that was just a drama post on the internet.
Well, John, you know my stance on natural selection.
There was that guy who killed himself because Itachi died in Naruto. And maybe some more of that will be happening in a few months.
You know, I only know... The thing is, I only knew one guy that I used to go to school with, and I haven't talked to him in a while because he's just a really weird dude. But I remember him saying how, like, when Naruto ends, he was always, like, so suicidal. Be like, you know, when Naruto's, like, completely finished, I think I'm just going to kill myself. And I'm like, really, Jeff? Is that what you're really going to do? It's like...
Yeah.
You know what? I don't know if I'll have feelings about that towards you, but you know what? Good luck with your life.
Well, Naruto is never going to end. You know, the manga ended, and then they made a sequel series. And
yeah, you don't see a sequel series for freaking Bleach, that's for sure.
Well, they did put, like, in the last chapter, I think they're trying to, like, do a Naruto where they had, like, they introduced the kid of Rukia and Renji and the kid of Ichigo and...
Yeah.
Or Hime, and they were like, oh, look, Toei, if you want to animate more, or Piero, or whoever does it, like, we can always make a sequel series with Ichigo's kids and Rukia's kids, and they're going to be Soul Reapers, too. We might as well do what Naruto did and have a sequel with the kids. But
they're just looking at this boy and just kind of just, like, got their hands over their mouths, just snickering, like, dude, what a freaking moron. Like, your anime wasn't doing good years ago, which is why it ended so early. And the rest of your manga is not going to get adapted, as far as we know now.
Mm-hmm.
But...
And they like, rushed him to end it, supposedly, because he was taking so long, and...
Yeah.
So the ending is, like, a mess, and, like, the final battle is rushed, and they didn't fully reveal a lot of stuff about the... You know, the swords or whatever that they were, like, hinting at, and the whole thing is just a total mess, and I don't know how they could even make an anime out of it, because it's so bad.
So, when did Bleach start? Was that 2013? I mean, not 2003 or 2004?
Oh, 2001. They ended it at the 15th anniversary, because Ichigo, you know, 15 years. 1-5.
Oh, okay.
That's what his name means. Or it also means strawberry, but...
That's what I thought.
They got always multiple meanings to every...
Depending on the context of how it's used, yeah. But, anyways, so Magic Users Club.
Right.
Honestly, like, after we were done with this, I was just kind of like, I could probably give this up to somebody that might appreciate it more. And then I saw the bloopers, and I'm like, those are some really good bloopers.
Yeah, you might want to keep it, huh?
I might. I don't know if I'm... But the thing is, like, in terms of me rewatching all this stuff, I couldn't do it.
Yeah,
we were watching this, and I'm just like, I wish this was the OVA. Like, the OVA was stupid, but man, it was 6 episodes that told a complete story, and that's all you needed. And,
mm-hmm.
I like, the OVA is so much funner than this, and I could probably watch the OVA again, like, if it was, like, a certain group of people that wanted to see it.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Yeah, but this one, it was just kind of like, they did this whole thing with the story, like, with the girl, and it was, like, all somber, and I'm just like, alright, I'm freaking bored, done with this. So, it's like, if I know someone that's really gonna appreciate this, and they really want it in their collection, and they don't have it, like, I'm probably more liable to give it to them. Without really a second thought. So, I guess if anybody's listening, if you want me to send you, well... Because I know you mentioned about doing a contest for episode 100, and maybe, like, if I think about it seriously enough, I might, maybe, like, whoever I may pick, or whose suggestions I may pick for episode 100, whatever that may be, I might just give them this series. So, because if I always wanted it, it's probably going to be super cheap in a few years on Amazon, I'll just pick it up then.
Yeah. It must be a re-release, because... You know, we got this from Right Stuff, and I think it's, you know, something they have the license to now, but series itself was, you know, dubbed a long time ago, so I guess CPM, you know, they went out of business, so Right Stuff picked it up, and...
Yeah, the license rescued it.
I don't know if, like, the original DVDs are cheap, or if they went up in price and that's why Right Stuff decided to get it, or what happened with,
you know what?
How much it's worth nowadays. We can just check on Amazon.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was going to go. eBay. I let me see what Magic Users Club shows up. Users Club. Okay, complete OVA. It's the Right Stuff. Okay. There's... Holy crap. All right, so there's a box set from 2003 of Magic Users Club that through Amazon Prime, it's $84. However, you can buy it used for $11.
This is the CPM box set?
This is, I'm going to assume, the CPM box set. Let's see. Who put this out? Oh, no, never mind. This is, it says Anime Works.
That's like the subdivision of CPM, I think.
Okay. Yeah, I've got a few of those DVDs that says Anime Works on it. I think this is the OVA, actually, the box set that I'm looking at. But there's...
Okay.
Yeah, they got some individual DVDs. And they're like $10 each on Amazon Prime. Or they're like a dollar. They're under a dollar used.
Mm-hmm.
So... Like, there's something called Should I Do Volume 7. I'm not even sure what episodes are on this.
There's one that says Believe in Yourself. 15 offers from one penny.
Okay, so I guess if I was really serious on collecting, getting the show again, I could just do these used and pay less than a buck for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you would have to pay shipping, which is probably
$4
or whatever, but...
It's usually like $3 or something, yeah. They're getting most of their money through shipping than the actual DVD cost.
Yeah, in some cases. Yeah.
All right, I'm looking on the back of this Magic Users Club DVD. See if it says the episode numbers. I'm looking at Volume 1. Running time 60 minutes, so it's got to be like 2 episodes on there. Possibly 3, maybe?
It doesn't say. The runtime is slightly longer on the OVA.
Okay, yeah, well, this is coming from Media Blasters, is the ones I'm looking at.
Well, maybe Media Blasters dubbed it and not CPM, I don't know.
That could be, yeah, that's probably, you're probably right.
They're both New York, right? So it's like, same voice actors, it's hard to tell the difference.
I can't tell what's the TV series and what's the OVA.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, screw
it. Yeah, they're not well labeled, like early Amazon stuff.
No.
They didn't change.
Man, I could go on a tirade on how much I hate, like, some of these DVD releases, especially from ADV. Like, I've got some DVDs for some of their stuff that, like, they don't even have episode, like, numbers on it. They don't even say, like, episodes such and such to such and such. Like, they're just like, oh, this is the episode names. Like, okay, so what order is this in? Well, you don't know, do you? That's how it is for, like, those Power Stone DVDs. And I've got one of those thinking it was the first one, but I don't think I had the first one, which is stupid. But they're not even, like, labeled correctly. The Bubblegum Crisis Tokyo 40 ones? Yeah, those are, like, those original prints on those. Oh, those don't have any, like, episode numbers on it, I don't believe.
Sometimes they'll have, like, a number on the side, but not always, you know. Maybe just a title sometimes.
Oh, yeah, I could rant about that for a while, because that always ticked me off. It's like, you see this stuff, it's like, well, what order is this? When am I, you know.
I was watching this Spirit Warrior the other day, and it's like CPM, but they totally bungled the release in, like, the order.
Yeah.
And so they released episode 4 and 5 before 1, 2, and 3. And, like, on all the DVDs, it's like, here's the final edition of Spirit Warrior or whatever. So I bought, like, number 3, and I thought it was number 5 because it said it was the last one. So it's like, oh, this is such a mess. And some of them are really cheap,
mm-hmm.
and some of them are really expensive. I don't know.
I think
some out of print because so up and down.
I was going to say, I think Hades Project Zeromire was like that, too, because I thought I bought the first DVD. And then it didn't come to me or hit me later until, like, holy crap, I got the second part. I need to go on Amazon and buy the first part. Well, that's stupid.
Yeah. And there's really no excuse for not just...
That is a CPM release, too.
Yeah, I mean, they should have just released Zero Immerse, just one DVD, because it's only 4 episodes. Like,
it doesn't make any sense.
I mean, you can see why CPM went out of business. Like, even though their dubs are entertaining, like, they... A lot of their business choices don't make much sense.
I think like it's
more stuff per duke.
No, it's the fact that John O'Donnell was a cheapskate, and he was trying. He was like the cheapest person, is what is kind of known in the anime industry is how he operated. But then I hear stories from like Toshifumi Yoshida when I would ask about John O'Donnell, and he was just like. Like, one story was the fact that Toshi told me this a couple years ago at Animazement, how, like, apparently O'Donnell skimmed out on translation work for Toshi, like, back in the 90s, and Toshi was kind of, like, sort of bitter about it. And then he later brought it up to him about, like, about the dubbing, or, like, this translating job, and John O'Donnell was just like, okay, how much do you think it was at the time that I was supposed to owe you? And he's just like, oh, like, roughly $1,000. Bam, he whips out his checkbook and writes him a check for $1,000. He's like, here you go. That should cover it. Yeah, so I think it sounds like John O'Donnell is a super cool guy, but it's just the fact that's like some of these decisions on like how this stuff was designed is just kind of like, well, he thought it was the greatest thing back then. I mean, there's one like when I heard of one episode of him about CPM back in the day, like there was a cover for Dog Soldier, Shadows of the Past. Which the VHS tape cover is so ugly looking, and when they put it together, he was just like, "Holy crap! This is the best VHS cover I've ever seen in my life. We're gonna sell a million of these things." Yeah, I would suggest people to go Google search "Dog Soldier Shadows of the Past" on VHS, and you let me know what you think of that that VHS cover. I don't even know if that sucker ever came out on DVD. Probably for good reason. Yeah, that's something else about the review one day, which I do own in my collection. So, and I paid $1 for that at the Raleigh flea market years ago.
They made some weird choices too. Like, didn't they make all these like American comics based on some of their?
Yeah, series? They did that. They did that for. They made a MD Guys comic.
Yeah,
and which I have. Which I do have a. I have that. I have a collection of that too. I got that for like hardly nothing at the comic book shop in Anderson a few years ago. They got Ground Zero, which was like a side story or like a prequel to like MD Guys that they did.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I think that was worked on by Tim Eldred. No, it wasn't. I'm not sure if it was Tim Eldred or not. It's all that stuff's boxed up, so I can't really say anything right now. But yeah, like that's what they kind of did. They did the Project Aiko comics based on like the OVAs that they were putting out.
Yeah.
Or. No, they only put out the first movie, but then no, they did take care of Project Gecko. They did put the rest of those out.
Maybe the first one was Media Blasters, and 2 through 5 were CPM or something.
No,
the
Project Gecko movie was from CPM for sure. That was actually what kind of got them on the map. And the OVAs,
Media Blasters.
See, I thought the OVAs came from Anime Ego, but that's not the way it worked. I was thinking that's how Urusei Yatsura was released.
We could go on Wikipedia. They've got the details, I'm sure.
Yeah, but Urusei Yatsura was the fact that like the movie rights went to CPM because they are the ones that got it first before Anime Ego, and then Anime Ego got the all the rest of the movies, and CPM didn't get the second one. Because one company owned the second one, the rest of them owned all the rest. And I've heard that story quite a number of times, which basically it seemed like they all happened in the same day. It sounds like a comedy routine, basically. But it's a pretty good story.
Yeah. Maybe they've got information about this Project Gecko thing on Anime News Network or Wikipedia, I don't know. But I know that the first one and the rest were done by different companies, but
yeah, I've got one of the Project Aiko. I think I've got the second the second part of the second OVA on VHS. I just haven't seen it yet.
I've only seen the first one.
Yeah, I love that movie.
Maybe that's something we have to review sometime, huh?
Yeah, we're going to talk about Project Aiko. I know we can do a better review than Ben the Sage did because he just trashed that movie.
It says Project Aiko was CPM's first video release in 1991. They later released a dubbed version produced by Manga Entertainment to VHS in 1992. The English dub for the rest of the franchise was produced by Ocean Studios instead. So Ocean did it for someone else.
Oh, I guess. Okay, yeah.
Or, I don't know, maybe does CPM ever release anything with an Ocean dub to it? I think not.
Ah.
Well, they must. It says CPM has released 3 theatrical sequels in a single disc collection. Plot of the Daitoku Fuji Financial Group, Cinderella Rhapsody, and Final. And then there's the OVA's Eiko Versus. And,
yeah.
That was, I think that one was on Sci-Fi Channel at one point.
Those are probably the, back in the 90s Sci-Fi Channel stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Before Anna Monday.
Way before Anna Monday. Probably when they were doing anime on Saturday mornings.
Yeah.
During the late 90s and early 2000s. Because that's how I saw Rogen Z. Yeah, so we're... Yeah, if you can't tell, if anyone's still listening, we are done with Magic Users Club. I guess the next thing, the other girlish anime we can cover from Right Stuff eventually is Super Gals.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta say, I think the culture around Super Gals is pretty interesting. However, I don't know what to say about the show itself. So, eventually that'll happen. Well, we can probably watch maybe we should give it the 10 or 13 episode treatment and just see how far we can get into that.
Yeah, that's 50 episodes or something.
It's 50, yeah, it's 50 or 52 episodes. That's going to kill us to try to sit through all of that and try to talk about it. I don't know if I can do it. I mean, unless it's really that good.
Yeah, that could take a long time to watch. If maybe we just get a sample of it and...
Yeah, well, we can pop it. We'll just pop in the first disc, see where it takes us, and just go from there.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's the Destroy All Podcast way of reviewing stuff. When they talk about a show, they really just talk about 3 episodes out of it and then base the entire show on those 3 episodes because they think they know everything. But in this case, we're kind of doing that same formula, but I don't, based on how it looks and what I saw, I think that's the best formula to use for Super Gals. But hey, who knows? Maybe we'll like it. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's not usually the kind of thing we would review, but in this case it was sent to us.
I would probably have more fun talking about, the bonus content and the extras and, the Shibuya slang culture of Tokyo at that time, the Gangaroo Girls. And probably that's when, Eurobeat was getting really popular in Japan. That was actually, a mid-90s thing. Reading all of that and researching that about Super Gals would probably be way more interesting than the show itself, but we'll just have to see.
Yeah, that must have been, a really big thing at the time, because they had,
Yeah.
There's an episode of Pokemon, even, where Jesse and James have, they put the pink facial makeup or whatever when they're going on the SSN boat and, dress up like Ganguro, and it's... That's enough of a thing that they would put it in a big franchise like that. I think it's something that won't be understood internationally.
Yeah, it was it's definitely the tan skin look, the white lip gloss. That was really popular for a few years around the Akihabara, Shibuya, fashion square, and that's when they had Eurobeat clubs everywhere. And there was a few that were open for a number of years before they just shut down or had to reorganize themselves to still stay open, but kind of serve the public if they were still in interest for it. So, that's not so much a thing anymore. But to me, the reading of looking all that stuff up is very fascinating. I remember, I think Gangaro was brought up in the guy who writes for Kotaku. It's Arcade Mania. I think it's Ashcroft. Let me look that up real quick. Brian Ashcroft, maybe? Arcade Mania book. Oh, there's a free PDF of it out there. That's nice. It's written by Brian Ashcroft from Kotaku. I actually read this a number of years ago. Holy crap. This book's $20 on Amazon used. And this new version's for going for $44. I'm glad I got this for hardly nothing back in when it first came out. It must have just been a one or two print thing, and then they never, maybe they never reprinted it, or maybe it was just a first printing experience thing. But it was kind of basically a brief Yeah, it's like a brief outlook of like the arcade culture and the gaming and like otaku stuff in Japan, like by the time this was written, which is basically the late 2000s, which I'm not sure how much of that has actually changed.
I'm sure it has to some extent, but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. I can probably see why this is a PDF online, because no one's going to spend $44 on eBay or Amazon to get it. Yeah, it's already uploaded on Google Books, or there's like sort of a thing about it. But
so the whole thing's on there for free.
Yeah, if you just do a Google search for Arcade Mania book PDF, yeah, there's something called Hobby Workshop Miniature. That's a long website name.
So Kotaku is not really affected by this lawsuit, huh? I think I saw Gawker's being shut down, but the other parts of that media family are being
preserved. Gawker, I guess Gawker did buy up Kotaku years ago, didn't they? Or like a few years ago that happened, right?
Yeah, that's why they're so hated these days online. Didn't you get warned? And this was like years before they were as infamous as they became after Gamergate, but like you like were posting articles from there on Toonzone. Like they gave you a warning.
Yeah,
like, don't post from there.
Yeah, it was whoever the mod was for Toonzone. I was like trying to keep it like a thread sort of thing. They have it as a discussion for like topics that would interest us. And they were like, well, what's the point of this? We could just go on the website and read and, you know, write our reviews there. I was like trying to get it to like where, you know, have a discussion about these articles on Toonzone. And I wound up getting a warning for that.
Yeah.
I was like, so clearly the people in the gaming section of Toonzone clearly hates Kotaku.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like right before they started sucking or before I had any issues with them, really. Because they were a really good site for a while.
Yeah. Kotaku these days, it's like people are always trashing it and saying that they get paid to, paid to give positive reviews, or they're sleeping with the people whose games they're reviewing, or,
Yeah.
They give they do like anime reviews too. They give that review to Berserk, where the first episode was out, and they were like, this is the greatest anime I've ever seen, and it's so much better than the 90s show already. And like the internet was, you know, hating that the new Berserk anime because it's got this like low quality CGI and not great music compared to the 90s one, and it's like skipping all over the place in the manga. And this guy on Kotaku was like, oh, this is such a brilliant first episode, and it's just breathtaking animation, and it's so much better than anything from the 90s because, oh, the animation back then was so bad. He's like one of those people like Daft, you know, who's of the view that nothing animated before 2000 would be ever any good.
Yeah. I mean, the way you're kind of putting it, it does kind of sound like that. Oh man, this is... trying to put together this iPod charger thing because the plastic pieces fell off. This is not going well. Alright. Hey guys. So, since this episode is a Right Stuff theme review because we got products in from Right Stuff, I just want to tell you about the cool stuff that's happening on Right Stuff right now at rightstuffanime.com. I am looking at Mobile Suit Gundam 0080 War in the Pocket DVD that's got a... you can add to the cart as a pre-order that doesn't ship out until January 3rd of next year. And they have it at a promotion price of $19.49. So definitely get that. So let's go to the homepage and check out what they got. They got a yen press sale. It's only 33% off on titles with the promo code YP-2006. That's YP-2016. Not 2006, dadgummit. So, there's also that going on. I do see that there's a featured item on the website, Kimba the White Lion DVD, the entire TV collection on DVD, for $38.99. I'm not sure how long this sale is going to last since I'm recording this on a Sunday night, but you guys can definitely check that out. Also, we have another promo happening right now. We got a promotion from a website called Anime Cart at animecart.com. Anime Cart reached out to us, and we're here to promote Anime Cart as an online retailer that can hook you guys up with the best anime merch for your needs. You guys need a love pillow, a cosplay accessory, a Dragon Ball Z figure? Hey, they got it. We actually have our permanent promo code that you can use on their website at animecart.com. By using this promo code, you will get 10% off any purchase. Also, by when you use our promo code, that money that you spend on those items comes back to us. We get a percentage out of that to help fund the podcast. So, the promo code is going to be AOI Podcast, all capital letters. And to spell it out in all capital letters, that's AOYPODCAST. Should not be too hard to figure out how to use that. So, now that you got the promo code at AOY Podcast, definitely go on animecart.com and get whatever you need to get from that site that will suit your needs. So please enjoy products from animecart.com and especially rightstuffanime.com for all your needs. Now, on to closing remarks. What have you got for closing remarks?
Oh, I guess I should find something for that, huh? Let me see if I can find, like, a... We could talk about the Ghost Inner Circle, which is, like, Ghost is trying to sell for $45 the membership to so-called Inner Circle, where he is going to be selling some very useless benefits, like getting a shout-out on Baller Friday and that sort of thing. And then he's got a tweet here. Doing an audit of the Ghost Circle, there will be more slots available in the next few days. This ain't a troll session. So I guess people were using the Ghost Circle. You're supposed to, like, be able to communicate with him through it or something. But probably trolls were using it to send him stuff that you don't want.
That's like, exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah. And it was obvious that was going to happen. He says, I'm only giving refunds this couple of days. Then after that, it's the troll's loss, as stated in the merch description. Is at first he was saying, oh, no refunds, but now he is. And he says, if you get / got a refund, it means you couldn't pay me to hang out with you in a digital world. It's the butthurt ensuing.
Wow. Yeah, I wanted to bring up the, we need to talk about the chip and dip incident, or the double dip incident. Because that happened a couple weeks ago, where he turns into a demon on the, on his show. Oh, I want to say his first.
Did he turn into Satan or Lucifer? There's a big distinction.
Yeah, before we started recording, there was actually a bit of a religious Christianity Catholicism argument, or discussion, I guess, on our Slack channel between VQ, you, and this person we call NIV, or NIV.
Mm-hmm. And he's claiming that Catholics are not real Christians because they don't have Christian in their name, which is like a weird argument because, you know, Calvinists don't have Christian in their name. Lutherans don't have Christian in their name. Like,
Pentecostals don't have Christians in their name. Non-denominational don't have Christians in their name, but it's the fact of what they believe.
Right. And there's like differences obviously between Catholicism and Protestantism, but he claims it's like a completely different God and it's like a totally different religion.
I remember his point was something about how, like, oh, the difference between communicating straight to God other than, like, talking to someone to communicate to God for you or something. And then he has this, and this is where this is when I saw this and I called him on his bullcrap instantly, was this, like, well, I can be by myself and serve God and I don't have to interact with anyone else. And if I don't agree with the pastor, I'll start my own church. And I'm just like, that is not exactly that. Like, that is like unbiblical. That, you know, you're separating yourself from the Christian body and other believers, which means you're not going to grow. You're going to be this arrogant piece of crap. And if you do start a church, no one's going to go there.
Yeah. Let's see here. He says,
I don't want our podcast to be the Sunday school Baptist time or whatever, but it's, but hey, I mean, like, you get to hear everything on here anyway, so why not this?
He was, like, claiming that he was going to start his own church or whatever, and then...
I don't know how serious he was on that. He's not, but...
He's kind of a crazy guy.
It was the fact that he was just like, you could be a Christian by yourself, and I'm like, that is not how that works. Like, you need other believers to help you grow as a believer, and you do the same for them. It's a community-based thing, and it's about being with other people. And everything that he was saying, if you were the last person on the planet, then yes, but if there's another person there that you could either convert or believes in the same thing you do, you need that also, because it's like the Bible says, iron sharpening iron. So,
okay. He says, if I disagree with the local church, I can make my own church just as valuable, like anyone that's going to go to a church run by an IV.
Yeah, no, it's... That's when I was like, okay, you're speaking... You're totally full of bullcrap. And actually, like, I messaged Viku about it, and he was like, yeah, you're absolutely right. He's crazy. I was like...
Yeah, I was talking to Viku during it as well.
And the thing is, like, when Viku asks you what your point is, that means you don't have a point. I learned that a long time ago. Or otherwise, your point that you made has switched so much that you've made it so confusing because of how the discussion went. Which basically, he's just like, no, we're going off in the wrong way. And I'm like, no, we're going in the right way. We're talking about your personal beliefs, and you're contradicting yourself to try to make yourself look right and better than us. That's exactly where this conversation is going. That's exactly where it went. And you're trying to say that it's going in the wrong direction. I'm like, no, that's not how it works.
He says, as a Christian, I don't need to go to church or really do anything. I have my faith, and that's all I need. And I said something like, so you like
that's what I called him out.
Because it's easy for slackers, is what I said to him. Because, like, he's treating it like, oh, I just need to believe in it, and then I'm automatically, like, a great person. And Catholics are lame because they do too many good works or whatever, or they should just sit around and watch Disney AXD all day like me or whatever.
I don't... It's
like, it's just bizarre, the argument he was making.
How bizarre. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Niv's bizarre. Niv's bizarre. Do-do-do. Sorry, I had a 90s song in my head.
But yeah, we got way off the ghost thing, but he had, like... He claims the Department of Homeland Security is monitoring his every move, and that they went into a taco bar where he was having chip and dip for breakfast, and then they took one of the chips and dipped it, and then they double dipped it, and then that really made him angry, and he was like, I want to see his face, I want to punch him, I would have
no,
wanted
to here's the great thing about it, was the fact that he was like, everyone bow your heads and let's pray to God, and he turns into Satan, and he's praying to God that he wants to kill this person. What God are you praying to, Ghost? Because I'm pretty sure that's not the same one I worship.
Maybe yeah, there's a lot of stuff I think about his show that makes me
it reminds me. The prayer reminds me of the line from Conan the Barbarian, where Conan's like, Crom, I never prayed to you before, I have no tongue for it, but grant me one request, give me revenge, and if you do not listen, then the hell with you. I'm pretty sure the god of Ghost is Crom. Because only Crom could make something like that happen.
There is one episode on his show where he's like, Satan is the god of this world, the law of this world is kill and eat one another, and you know, like he's like very much got this like very Darwinist attitude about like,
yeah,
you know, the weak deserve to die, and you're all a bunch of, you know, worthless people listening to my show. Like, he's very hostile.
He believes in a ruling class because therefore he believes he rules. To quote Mallrats.
The capitalist ruling class, capitalist army is going to take over the world.
Yeah, like once I heard that line, I was just like thinking of like, I need to make a splice with him like saying that prayer over the Anvil of Crom song from Conan the Barbarian. And just kind of run with it from there. Like, and then he did the whole thing about the Uncle Bernie thing, where he's just like, take off your underwears, and then it's like the orgasm, he's like, oh, vote for Hillary Clinton, he's like, that's what he did to you!
He just said a lot of me.
And I listened to that, and I'm like, he's gonna get spliced so bad. They took that out of context, that wasn't what I said, damn it.
He makes it so easy. Like, sometimes I think he's doing it on purpose just to see what
is this guy. Yeah, is Ghost that dumb? He's got to be. Otherwise, he's doing it on purpose just to get more, like, these crazy people that he, like, he's like, oh, if I make him my enemy, they'll still want to listen to my show. And it's like asking, like, they're not his real... It's like they're not his real fans. I'm like, no, they are your real fans, because they're the only ones that seem to call in most of the time.
They play a song, and it's like, he'll start singing along. And, he
might know
he's going to do a remix of that. And then each time, like 10 minutes later, someone does a remix, and they start playing him singing the song with the music from the song. And he's like, I just did that. I just sang that.
Or how many more? Yeah, there's like Nickelback slices or splices now. What was interesting was the fact that someone tried to do a remix of speaking of Eurobeat that I mentioned. Someone took a Eurobeat song, "Night of Fire," or "Nights of Fire," and they tried doing it with his voice. And then he's just like, "What the heck is that vibrator music? Where'd you get a vibrator to the?" I was like, "It was freaking Eurobeat music," and I'm like, "Oh, that's so good."
Well, there are a bunch of people who play vibrator music on the show. It's like a bizarre genre.
Basically, it works like this. So Stevie Ray Vaughan is the greatest musician of all time. Nickelback is Brokeback Nickel or Dickback Nickelback or whatever. So his music sucks. Anything with electronic music is you putting a vibrator to the Obama phone.
The Obama phone, yeah, he loves that.
I don't know what else.
They played Stevie Ray Vaughan guitar with the Nickelback vocals.
And he raged.
He's like, that is music blasphemy.
Yeah. Although I do share his likeness of Stevie Ray Vaughan, because I like Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Oh, yeah, too. I do as well. But
yeah.
Nothing wrong with that, but, you know, it's like just funny how he gets off this.
So yours truly is doing an internship for a senior home this semester, and I'm getting paid like $12.50 an hour part time. But I am a media manager for this place, and that is a self-appointed title I put upon myself. And to basically sum up the interview, basically, like, I'm working with this lady for this senior program in Anderson County, and I'm not sure how to like read her yet. But she's like she was really ecstatic to have me on there. Apparently, like I was. Like talked highly about from Anderson County, so she can have me work for her. So that's I'm already secured for getting work this semester. But she mentioned, like, she was telling me like how to put my position down, and she's like, I can't call you my office assistant, and I was just like, I don't know, Kelly. Like, why don't you put down like a media manager or something? And she's like, yeah, that's a good title. So I basically promoted myself to a media manager of this place. Nice. So yeah, it's such an odd way of how this happened, but it's just like kind of the same time. It's like, well, I kind of do have to thank God for it, because otherwise I was really struggling to try to find an internship set up. So it's just kind of cool how this all worked out. Like, yeah, I'm probably feel a bit odd about it, but at the same time, I'm doing the field that I want to do. And it seems to be pretty steady. And I'm supposed to meet with her this week in order to get equipment so I can start using it, which is great because they have all this funding that they have to use for this program. So I'm like, yeah, I can help you buy really good cameras and the stuff that I need to make this, you know, program look really good on TV or something. So, yeah, let's do it. So that pretty much sums up that interview in a sense.
Yeah. So that's good that your work at the library has got you roughing up to the old folks home.
Yeah. The thing was that the Anderson County had a hold on internships, so like they couldn't pay anything for right now. But the program that they had set up at the senior place, like they were able to direct me there. And so now I'm doing video for them and making the senior place look really good, which I can easily do. If I did miracles with the library, which I didn't even know how that... I was like, I made some minor changes that they told me to, but I never heard anything negative about it, so I was like, I guess they liked it.
Did they tell you to take out Kingdom of the Origin?
No.
Oh, they kept that? Good.
Yeah, they kept that in. I'm not sure when that's going to air on their channel or whatever, so it's bureaucratic county government stuff, but eventually it'll happen.
So I found one more thing with Ghost. When I dox myself, it will be
when my movie is finished, and guess who's got dibs on the first screening? Hashtag Ghost Circle, a documentary I will dox on my own terms. So he's claiming he's going to make a movie about himself now.
Oh,
that
my
would be
gosh.
Something to say. Can't imagine how ridiculous that would
that turn out. That couldn't be biased in any kind of light whatsoever. I feel that the truth might be changed a bit to make him look better.
And of course they would never show him and the engineer at the same time. They might show him, like, dressed up in a costume, trying to look stupid or something as the engineer, like, in a separate scene or something.
Yeah.
Just, like, babbling or whatever, like he does with the engineer. Because this is obviously him. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that this is ever going to come out. I mean, I can imagine that he's confident enough to know how to... Like, he hasn't been able to take Skype callers in months on a show. Like, he's not going to be confident enough to know how to make a movie.
Yeah, he'll probably just, like, he'll get the engineer to do it, and the engineer keeps breaking cameras, and they're like, well, send it back! Well, just tell him it came this way. Yeah, there's no way you got 50 cameras in a week that were broken, Ghost. It doesn't work that way.
Because he broke that award in the belt. And it's enough.
Yeah, and then people, like, criticize it for, like, you're a scammer and a con artist. It's just like, no, I'm not. That came broken. It's like, that's not what we heard.
Yeah, true fraudster radio or whatever.
Yeah.
He got mad about that. It's like, it's all your fault, you troll terror. Nothing's ever his fault.
That's true.
It's all the trolls.
Man, I thought for sure there was some stuff I wanted to bring up, but I think that was pretty much it.
Okay. Yeah, I guess we pretty much covered it.
Yeah.
Do you think our 100th episode will be out when this comes out? Probably, huh?
Probably not. I mean...
We're at 98 right now, right?
Do what?
We're at 98 right now. It's kind of yawning, sorry.
97 comes out tomorrow, and that's going to be our Suicide Squad, because I was going to originally put out the Animazement convention review that I did when I got back from Animazement back in May, and it is August, so that's usually when I ever put these things out. And then I got an email from the people that were funding that or paying us for it, and they're like, hey, you're going to get it out soon? I'm like, yeah, I'm just working on it when I wasn't planning on it.
Oh.
I'm like, all right, I'm gonna get through this. Honestly, like, in terms of editing, like, I increased
it out while the movie's still in theaters.
Yeah, like, in terms of editing, like, I basically increased the volume, cut out some dead air here and there, and honestly, I just skimmed through your guys' Killing Joke review. I didn't even want to listen to it, because I remember, like, falling asleep to it, because, like, something about how Daft talks and reviews things... I just, like, I can only take so much of it before I just want to go to sleep. And he just rambles on and on about stuff. Like, he mentioned, like, some sort of podcast, a sports podcast. I took that crap out. I was just like, well, they're not going to get... I'm not going to recognize them. I don't really care.
That is the Barstool Sports, whatever that he was going on about.
All right, well, yeah, something like that. Where he was, like, talking about how great this podcast is and how awesome they are. And I'm like, nah. He's like, yeah, we need to put a plug in for them. Shout out to such and such sports cast no one cares about except for me. And I'm just like, I think I was going to use that as like a bonus or a zinger at the end. Then I realized, like, man, this sucker's like almost 2.5 hours long. I'm not making it any longer. So I just freaking deleted that section. And I was like, oh, well.
No big loss.
No, not really.
Not quite as long as that. It's 1:45. It looks like we're kind of wrapping up here. So
yeah, well, I got 1:40 on the recording right now
because of the technical things at the start.
Yeah, I started like 5 minutes after we started this call. I'm not sure what the call says. I'm sure. Hold on. Does it have a timer on the call?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't even see that anywhere.
Maybe only on. I have it on my phone.
Oh,
it was different.
Okay, that's probably true. Yeah, I started this 5 minutes in because we're still doing, like, audio checks on it, so. This is probably going to come out after... Oh, no, it shows it up there. I have it, like, a little minimized window on my computer. So, yeah, this is going to come out after episode 100, I'm sure.
Because we got Cobra, we got Suicide Squad, we've got Con Review,
Pokemon.
So. Pokemon Go, you know.
Yeah.
We got like 5 episodes recorded here.
Yeah, it's just this constant backlog. But it's like, if we don't talk to each other for a while, it's just kind of like, hey, remember we used to do recordings of podcasts? I kind of want to do one now.
Yeah. We've got a lot of right stuff to review. So there's like, yeah, Supergirls. We got all these Gundams. they put out like a Gundam or 2 a month, it seems like.
Yeah, I just got Victory Gundam in, so I am pretty ecstatic. I popped the first episode in just to look at it. Mm-hmm. It is a 1080p quality video, but it's in 4:3 ratio because it's a, you know, television program. But it looks really, really good. I will say this about Char's Counterattack. I don't think it looks that good.
Oh, really?
I don't know if you've looked at your copy yet or if you've gotten one yet.
No.
Not yet. I got it.
It was like, I had to go to the post office and pick it up because the right stuff is not picked up my, like, new address for whatever reason. But,
well,
yeah,
as soon as I officially move into my apartment this weekend for Labor Day weekend, I'm gonna send him an email again to whatever, I think it's Megan or something. And I was just like, hey, I need to let you know my new address. Start shipping things here immediately. Also to do the same for John, because I thought I did that already, but they haven't done it. So I'll see what I can do about that.
Yeah, they said something like it'll take a month or two, right, or something. They seem to be really slow.
I sent him an email a month or two ago.
Right, so it should be done by now. I hope that the Victory is like not at the post office because I haven't gotten it yet. And you got it what, Thursday or Friday or something?
Yeah, I got it Friday actually. I got it in with my textbooks. Yeah. No, I popped in. Yeah, I popped in Char's Counterattack, and I was thinking it would look really good. And I feel like it's the masters that they used. Like, I guess that's the best they got from Japan, but it just didn't look that sharp to me, to be honest. And I guess, I don't know if like they were trying to make it look 1080p from the like maybe like a Laserdisc Master or something, because that's kind of what they usually do. But it is like widescreen kind of. It takes up the whole like TV that I have. So there's no kind of like, you know, there's no cropping at the bottom. So it looks really good, but at the same time, it's just like it doesn't look that sharp.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I look at Victory Gundam and I see, like, the sharpness and the detail of the TV series. So, obviously, they had a Blu-ray thing, but I don't think they did that with Char's Counterattack. And I think just whatever the masters they got, they just had to roll with it and make it look as good as possible.
Well, Char's a little earlier, right, than Victory by a year or two?
Yeah, it came out in 88, so.
That year was Victory, like, 91?
93. Because G Gundam came out in 94. Okay. And then Wing came out in 95. X came out in 96. Okay, yeah, that's
wasn't
that's
X a DVD? Like, the others are all Blu-ray.
Yeah, X was a DVD.
What's that about? And Turn A was a DVD, but then they're going to reissue it as a Blu-ray.
Yeah, we're probably just going to get the Blu-ray for Turn A Gundam, I'm assuming.
Yeah, because they never sent us the DVD.
Yeah.
It was like before we were a formal reviewer or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, these are all shows we'll get to. We've talked about them already, but we can...
It's just really for the
Mobile Suit and Zeta, where we just talk about the special features.
Yeah, we'll just talk about the quality of the special features. There's actually some, like, I thought for sure it was just going to be, like, the special features for Char's Counterattack was just like, okay, they took everything from the old Bandai release from 2002. And not really. They actually added some more extra stuff in there, which is really interesting.
Oh, really? What kind of stuff they have?
They got a promotion, they got like a 10-minute promotion video. And then they have these theatrical trailers, and they added more than one. Because they've got the one that came in the original Bandai DVD. And I kind of feel like pulling out my Bandai DVD for Char's Counterattack and just looking at the extras and just seeing like if they added more or just use the exact same ones. I feel like they added more in the Blu-ray, to be honest.
Maybe so. They had the, I think that we didn't mention this on Magic Users Club, but as well as the art film on the last DVD, they had some trailers from when it was on TV in Japan, which is like Sai narrating and saying like who she is and who the other characters are and stuff. And
that's true, yeah.
A minute or two of commercials from Japan.
Yeah, the Blu-ray for Victory Gundam has these promos where they did a contest for to give away like model kits like during the summer. So there's like a couple promotions in the extras for the first set on that, which I don't even know, which doesn't surprise me, but I never even seen those before, which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. That's so cool. Yeah. They were like very heavily emphasizing the models with Victory because they had the first episode delayed, and they aired like a later episode with more action so that they could show off the suit model, you know, and
yeah,
be able to buy it.
So they basically took what was going to be in episode 4 or was going to be originally like episode 3 or 4 and just made that episode 1 because they had to have mobile suit action in it.
Right.
And then it actually progresses through the story because it's like the first episode you're just like, what the heck is going on? Why is the city in ruins? And now that I got the set, it's just kind of like, I want to rewatch this again. But I'm wondering if I'm going to feel a whole lot different about it than I did before. So I'm like, well, if I do, then oh well.
You've seen the whole thing, right?
Yeah, I saw the whole thing like years ago on fan subs.
Yeah. Yeah, we saw it years back and reviewed it. Probably on the Cool Kids Club. Maybe Cybernauts. I don't know.
It was the Cool Kids Club.
Yeah, long time.
I don't even know if I have that episode still. Maybe we have to just do a review of it or something.
It's on archive, maybe.
It might still be on archive. I have to dig for it, yeah.
Yeah. It's not on Mason's site because he didn't keep them hosted on there.
Yeah.
And Toon Radio is down anyway. It says it'll be back next week, but you know him. He's still
All right, man. It's 1 a.m. and I am tired. So, all right.
Yeah.
Good night, internet. I'm stopping this.
All right. See ya.
Yeah. This is for everybody like the day. Just listen to what I'm saying and do it and take a chance. I put my hand up on your hip. When I dip, you dip, we dip. You put your hand up on my hip. When you dip, I dip, we dip. I put my hand up on your hip. When I dip, you dip, we dip. You put yours instead of put mine. And we can dip down low and roll and grind. Just get on the floor like I said before. Y'all remember that down low. Just put a little dip with it. Now roll those hips with it. Pop it, push it, rock it, bro. When you dip, I dip, we dip. I put my hand up on your hip. When I dip, you dip, we dip. You put yours instead of put mine. And we can dip down low and roll and grind. Just get on the floor like I said before. Y'all remember that down low. Just put a little dip with it. Now roll those hips with it. Pop it.
Anonymous Radio Graffiti!
Did you just double dip that chip?
Excuse me?
You double dipped the chip.
Double dipped? What are you talking about?
You dipped the chip. You took a bite. And you dipped again.
You think it's a big joke? Get the goddamn asshole! What a bunch of jerks, man! What? I can't calm down! I can't calm down! I can't calm down! I can't calm down! I want to see it freeze! 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 I gotta get the hell out of here, folks, alright? I gotta get the hell out of here. I gotta get the hell out of here before my back starts changing shape. Cause I wanna see this face. I'm getting the hell out of here, alright? I'm...